Blog Talk Radio.
To lower it, but I can't. Curry. Yeah, I could be Curry. I'm spicy. The only live award-winning gaming podcast in existence. Stop it! People on Twitter and messages on the phone. Stop it, stop it, stop it. I think we need something else because this will get me all happy. I be Corey, and that lady over there?
Be Ginger!
That's right.
Shake it like an earthquake, baby.
Are we really being harassed?
We are totally being harassed.
Apparently, we didn't cut him to the white meat, or else he would not be harassed via Twitter. Oh, you gamer-focused people have issues. Okay.
That was fun.
Slice. Wait a minute.
Slice you deep.
You know, I think I need a new weapon. I'm going to use this fingernail clipper, I think. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? Yeah, I think I'm going to use that. Yeah.
It's like a story about a guy I know that bobbed himself, I guess you could say, with fingernail clippers.
Ew.
It was a bad acid trip.
Ew.
Yeah. He thought his bobs were possessed by the devil.
Okay.
So we cut him off with fingernail clippers.
Well, could be worse. You could have your face eaten off by a man on LSD.
Seriously, right? Oh, that's so creepy. I shiver.
May I go first? Because I have the hottest.
You may go first. What do you got? I know you were talking about something, a free phone or something? What is it?
Not free, but you know how we have complained, and many of you have complained over and over about the fact that you would get an iPhone, but it is too freaking much money, and you have to sign a contract. AT&T is the only people that has them. Well, I got to say, I did not see this coming, but I did have a friend of mine that said this to me just over the weekend, that he thought the company Cricket Wireless was going to be the next new hotness, and I'll be damned if he was right, and he's not even a techie. Cricket Wireless will become the first ever prepaid carrier in the United States to offer the iPhone 4 and 4S. Mm-hmm. Did you hear part where I said prepaid?
That is awesome.
Starting June 22nd, Cricket's service will run a $55 a month service that gets you unlimited data, texting, and calling. Okay, now the data, VentureBeat is reporting, isn't truly unlimited after you use about 2.3 gigabytes of the data. Your speeds will be throttled. You all know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But the CEO, Doug Hutchison, over at Cricket, said that they want their customers want the best. Hello?
Hello?
What happened there? You got really loud, Ginger.
Am I really loud now?
Some wind came through. I was like, what the hell is that?
Turned up my boost all the way now.
We don't need your boost. You were fine before. We could hear you fine.
I'm being told that I'm quiet on air.
You know what? Don't pay him any attention. Nobody asked him anything. You sound fine.
I need to go back and listen now. Because my headphones died, people, so I went out and bought a cheap pair while I wait for my ones to be repaired. And, yeah.
Tell him hush up. Anyway, so Cricket is saying they want the best products available and are excited to bring the iPhone to their prepaid customers with an industry-leading $55 per month service plan. He said launching the iPhone is a major milestone for them, and they're proud to offer the iPhone customers to their customers and nationwide coverage, a robust 3G data network, and a value-backed no-contract plan. While the plans are much cheaper than major carriers like AT&T and Verizon Wireless, they do have an iPhone too. I always leave them out. You do have to pay more upfront for the iPhone itself. Unfortunately, the iPhone will cost you around $500 for a 16-gigabyte iPhone 4S or a $400 for an 8-gigabyte iPhone 4. Cricket service is available in about 60 markets across the U.S. That is a bit steep. They said, if you end up using a phone for the life of a two-year contract like you would on a standard postpaid carrier, you would certainly end up saving some cash. You can, of course, pop over to Cricket.com to sign up to get some more information about the phone. Or actually, it's mycricket.com/iPhone. I am still excited.
Yeah.
Because a prepaid iPhone and knowing that AT&T and Verizon, well, I don't say so much Verizon, but AT&T has had this pretty much locked for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited. It's kind of, it's not that expensive. I wouldn't mind paying $55 a month for unlimited on an iPhone. I wouldn't mind it at all.
No, that would be bad.
And those of you who complain about the 3G and I need 4G business, we have told you all before. In a zombie apocalypse, your 4G will be no faster than my 3G when we are trying to run from the zombies.
Exactly.
It means nothing.
All right, I got a mouthful of cookie.
Oh, my God. Ginger May, do you need me to do another story while you chew up that cookie?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You got to learn to talk with your mouthful, girl. Okay, so anyway.
Wow.
It is Thursday. We're leading up to tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Make sure you're listening to This Week in Gaming. Horrible. Okay, you've heard us talk about KIXEYE before, and someone we know is trying to get on at KIXEYE. I won't say their name because maybe they don't want people to know, but hey. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
I do?
Yes.
Is it a noise that we make?
It's a person.
Yeah, but is their name Revolver?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, okay. So anyway.
I think that fell through, unfortunately.
Shh. We don't think so. We're going to stay positive. Anyway, KIXEYE opened a new studio in Brisbane, Australia, and announced a collaboration with NGMoco to bring Backyard Monsters to mobile. The new development studio will start out with the 10 new employees, including the Three Blokes team, which has previously worked on Rome Total War. Creative Assembly Australia's George Fiddler will take the GM role. The talent pool in Australia is apparently expanding, and the Three Blokes team is evidence of that. KIXEYE CEO Will Harmon told GamesBeat that George and his team are highly driven and passionate game developers who aren't afraid to push the limits of creativity and innovation. They are the types of individuals we're looking to join our mission at KIXEYE. Meanwhile, the new deal with NGMoco will see successful Facebook game Backyard Monsters published on a mobile platform, Mobage. I've been interested in playing Backyard Monsters, but it never quite pulled me in whenever I see it on Facebook.
I have not seen it on Facebook, so I haven't played it, which is probably a good thing, because me and my little idol worshippers, my muddlings, yeah, we're in a love affair right now. Oh, my God. Okay, speaking of, can I address this real quick?
Mm-hmm.
All right, people, I have several accounts for Facebook. One of them happens to be my Second Life Roleplay Facebook page, and it has a picture of my Second Life avatar in a pose, and I understand some of these avatars are really real. But for you guys in this game who are setting up idols to worship me and then sending me messages like praying that you're going to show up in my bedroom, it's not going to happen. The chick you're looking at is Pixel. She doesn't exist. But that's very cute. Very sweet. Thanks. I kid you not. I got that message yesterday.
I'm not at all shocked.
I was like, I'll send you a muddling instead. Is that okay?
Well, we have a couple of people from Second Life that are on Google Plus because they realize, you know, that's where it's at, that are asking for us to be their friends or check out their Facebook page. I'm not going to say this girl's name. However, I went to look at her photography. It's beautiful, but I'm really not sure if it's Photoshopped or not. And, you know, we frown upon that. Those of you who are Second Life photographers, we want to see your eye, not your skills with Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are, if you know who you are, who I'm talking about, you send us a little request to like you on Facebook. Let me know if that's Photoshop. If it is, I'm not going to like you. But I like the clothes that you pick. Maybe we'll have you pop by Pixie Easter one night. Tell us what you like.
If you've... So, all right, I'm going to throw this name out there. You have to look for it. Her name is Strawberry Singh, S-I-N-G-H, and I'm pretty sure hers are not photoshopped. She takes amazing photos, just beautiful. All right, so Netflix settles class action, changes policies on saving customer rental histories. Netflix has settled a class action lawsuit related to violating the Video Privacy Protection Act, the VPPA. The VPPA.
You said VP.
I had it right. They changed it. All right, so it is the VPPA. Holds that video rental companies cannot share the rental habits of its customers. U.S. District Court papers filed Friday revealed that Netflix had settled a class action lawsuit filed against it in 2011. Netflix agreed not to hold on to data showing which movies its former customers rented for as long as it has in the past. Earlier this year, the company announced that it had settled the lawsuit for $9 million in restitution and attorney fees, but did not divulge any of the changes it made to its policies. The VPPA, was passed in 1988 as a direct response to the superposed court nominee Robert Bork, who had his blockbuster rental history revealed during his congressional approval hearings. It is also the same reason that video viewing habits cannot be shared on Facebook. All parties involved in the lawsuit have asked Judge Edward Villa to approve the settlement by June 29th. Awesome. You know what? And people, I'm going to go back to this. If you are judging us based on what we've watched on YouTube, Netflix, whatever, you should be stabbed on the face. On the face. In the face.
No, I like on the face.
On the face. You should be stabbed on the face. Anywhere on the face.
I like it. Ginger wants to stab on the face. Okay.
I don't know why I keep saying stuff like that. Like the other day I said I had a fun.
Well, you have to just make that part of your personality, Ginger. When I say the wrong thing, I just make it. It's on purpose.
But it's like I change gears mid-sentence. I know what I wanted to say, and then I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to say this instead, but I've already gone halfway through it, so it comes out forked.
Yeah, your brain works faster than your mouth. I have that problem all the time, which is why usually I will be quiet. There's too much going on to even keep
up. Yeah, exactly.
All right. We got a new app out on the App Store that I was actually in the middle of posting some stuff about, but I'll tell you about it, and then you can go back to our website and read about it. It's called Deal Board. Yeah. Influence Media, a Seattle and London-based leader in interest graph technology, today launched the second version of their Deal Board app, which was released earlier this year. Building on the success of Deal Board for iOS, this is the first showcase of Influence's media interest graph technology where users sort the brand's... Hello?
I'm still here.
I'm having all kinds of weird stuff going on. Okay.
Are you saying hello to me or somebody else?
Girl, I don't even know.
Do I need to be calling 911 and hold the one?
Okay, well, I don't know. No, I'm hearing weird things going on the computer. Like you, I have two Skypes open, and one came through on the other computer, but not this one. It's really weird.
That is strange.
Okay, so anyway, more on Influence's media interest graph technology. This is where they say users sort the brands they use to build an anonymous interest graph of themselves or an advertar, right? Dealboard then populates over 35,000 deals from the largest daily deal sites to recommend deals within the app that match your interests. Major updates in Dealboard 2.0 include a visualization of what selected brands say about you as a user. After a quick 30-second sorter, Dealboard provides a starting avatar with specific demographics and characteristics that describe you in the form of a word cloud. I don't like this judgmental deal board thing, I think. As app users continue to like and dislike daily deals, users can visually see the interest graph get increasingly accurate. Users can also pull down the About Me menu to directly redefine their avatar to get better matching deals. The Influence team, of course, is offering Deal Board as a first demonstration use of the brand sorter technology to help deliver relevant marketing messages to the right people before rolling out partnerships with mobile carriers, shopping malls, and other platforms later this year. Other added features in Deal Board 2.0 include deal sharing, so users can post deals they like on social networks like Facebook. Users can also choose to set their location to their current position or fix it anywhere else, enhancing your privacy. You should be able to do this with everywhere.
Oh, that was weird. Did I just hear?
Yeah, you did.
Soft sound?
Yeah, you did, but it was on me. It was on me. It's okay.
Okay. Okay. Oh my God, what is that?
Breathe. We're a little paranoid today, aren't we?
I know.
What was that? You know what it was? It was a zombie thing yesterday. I've been on edge since I heard that. I'm on high.
I know, right? I know. A friend of mine is in Florida. I was like, you own a shotgun, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, get out of there.
Yes. Anyway, Dealboard 2.0 is available on the iTunes App Store for free. And if you could not follow all that crazy that just happened with me and Ginger, it will be up on our site shortly. I'm seriously, the zombie thing has me really weirded out. I've been telling people, get your stuff together. Get it.
I know. And everybody's like, no, it's just an LSD trip. Dude, he was eating his face.
It's not just that he was eating the faces. When they shot him, he didn't stop. Is what
No, he just got more violent.
Oh, that should have put him down. Why was he?
I know. See, you always aim for the brain, people. Always, always.
He eating. Oh, was and wasn't he naked?
Yes, they were both naked.
Oof.
I don't know.
Oh, Jay says, by the way, Netflix won't be sending you, Ginger, recommendations in relation to midget porn documentaries.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm so sad about this. I love my midget porn.
You do, indeed.
All right. So, what do we got? Sony might acquire cloud-based gaming service. According to this MCV report, Sony's upcoming announcement about a partnership with a cloud gaming firm may actually lead to an acquisition. Citing a source close to the situation, MCV reports that the deal is much more involved than anyone knows and that it is close to being finalized. While the report doesn't specifically name any particular companies, the prevailing rumors is that one of the leaders in the space, online or Gaikai, are probably the most likely targets. Obviously, this would be a good way for Sony to deliver content, particularly rentals, but it could also serve to bring different kinds of content to platforms such as the PC and mobile devices such as Android and iOS. Screw you, Android. You're not going to give me my ice cream sandwich. I hate you.
Ice cream sandwich.
Sandwich. My ice cream sandwich. Of course, Sony is not publicly commenting on the story, but we expect to either have this rumor confirmed or squashed next week when Sony makes its big E3 announcement.
Do we really care what's going on? We'll be talking about this later tonight, too. Some people are saying E3 is possibly not even relevant anymore. So, what do you think about that, Ginger May? I'll probably ask you again tonight, so keep your...
Screw you, E3. Screw you, yes. You wanted to back SOPA, you wanted to back PIPA, you probably backed ACTA in 1981 and all this other fun stuff. So, no, I don't like you. I don't like you. I'm not going anyways, and don't really want to go. I would much rather go to PAX, East or West, either one, or South, hint. So, yeah, no, you can keep your E3.
Why, Ginger?
What, the machete?
You know, if you're not following us on Twitter and the numerous other places, we are, again, a fully interactive gaming news segment.
Because
that's the only way to do it. So you can interact with us and ask us questions and talk to us via Twitter. Or if you have Google Plus, pop over there. Sometimes we're on Facebook. But we're trying to steer clear because we're all addicted to that game. I'm trying not to say the name.
I know. I
don't worship.
I have it closed right now because if I have it open, I will be playing it.
Okay, Ginger.
Uh-huh.
I want you to sit down, and I want you to breathe very slowly. I have some news that I must share. Okay, my PC is freezing. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Do I need to go ahead and... Right, okay. I can do something else if you need me to.
I think I'll be back.
you think you'll be back?
I think I'll be back.
Okay, cool.
Okay, you're going to have to because it's still frozen. It's letting me talk, but it's not letting me move anything.
All right, well, then I can do it. Las Vegas shooting ranges popularized by video games and movies. Forbes has an interesting article on the popularity of shooting ranges in Las Vegas and what one owner of a popular establishment thinks has driven the industry to grow over the last few years. By the way, I am pulling this from GamePolitics.com. places like the gun store have always been popular with gun enthusiasts who are as comfortable firing a machine gun or a high-powered rifle as they are eating dinner. But in recent years, the clientele has shifted from that small select group to a more mainstream crowd. Mark Cole, owner of Guns and Ammo Garage, has some ideas on why the demographic has shifted so dramatically in recent years. It's a video game industry that's really got us going, he tells Forbes. Ranges used to cater to gun enthusiasts, and now people come in who have never fired a gun at all. But they know all the models, exactly what they found in the games like the FN-P90. Oh. Used in many games.
Wow. Okay, so apparently Skype decided we were not coming back. It was showing me that we were connected, and then it said no.
I know. And I was reading, like, all kinds of fun stuff, and you totally missed it.
Lovely live shows, lovely. If you guys can't hear us, you have to let us know, because we're just over here talking away. Joe finally told us, he says, I heard you, and then you're gone. So.
Thank you, Joe. Our bad.
We appreciate it, because Jay didn't say anything. He's just sitting there.
Well, no. He said something like, well, GLaDOS straight up pulled the plug on y'all. No techie, please stand by music or nothing. But I assumed, because that was right about the time we crashed and came back, that mm-hmm. nobody said anything after.
We were good. Bad. Well, we're moving
very
along.
Bad.
You're going to have to deal with those stories you missed, like stuff about Halo and Trip Hawkins, for later on tonight. And Diablo.
Yes.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it was my turn, right? So I guess I can pick up and go with another one.
Go ahead, darling.
All right. Epic wins countersuit against Silicon Knights, awarded $4.45 million.
Wow.
Ouch. According to the surface, that the game has prevailed in a countersuit filed against Silicon Knights in the long-running dispute between the two companies over Unreal Engine. Silicon Knights sued Epic Games in 2007 for $54 million, claiming that Epic failed to support its game engine technology, misrepresented its features, and ultimately caused Silicon Knights' game To Human to be delayed as the company built its own technology. The Canadian developer also alleged that Epic was putting all of its time and effort into the first Gears of War game instead of its game engine. To Human asked the court to award a portion of the money Epic made off of Gears of War to them as well. Epic argued that Silicon Knights had full access to the Unreal Engine 3 code and that it may have infringed upon its engine technology while creating the technology they eventually used to build 2Human. Today we learned that Epic has prevailed in its countersuit and that a jury has awarded the company $4.45 million in damages. Further details on the ruling were not available, but Jay Andrews, General Counsel of the Escapist, the following: we are delighted with the jury's verdict and all the hard work done by the Hunton and Williams legal team. The ruling comes on the heels of two major setbacks for Silicon Knights in court. Last week, the court ruled that the expert testimony given on behalf of the company was invalid, and that no claims against Epic could be awarded more than $1. Later that week, the court dismissed all of the Silicon Knights claims. While this is certainly a major setback for Silicon Knights, hopefully this ruling will put the 5-year legal battle between the two companies to bed. We do not know if Silicon Knights will appeal the ruling. We will have more on the story if it happens. Yay! 4.45 million dollars. That's a lot of money.
They need help. They need to learn how to buy shoes, mm-hmm. or buy us shoes is one of the two.
Yes. Ooh, buy me shoes. Buy me shoes.
Yes.
I got bought hair the other day.
So, hey, uh-huh. Is that a naked gun in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Totally happy to see you, baby.
Well, for me, it's a naked gun. DNA Dynamics, a company, a global developer, they're saying, they're global and publisher of mobile video games, is delighted to announce that through its wholly owned subsidiary, DNA Interactive Limited, and in collaboration with AppBacker Inc. and Bad Neighbors Inc., the Naked Gun ICUP is at long last now available on iOS devices. And ICUP is an acronym. I don't know what for, but I'm sure we'll get to it in a minute. Named as one of the most anticipated mobile games of 2012 by Pocket Gamer, The Naked Gun, ICUP, was designed by DNA and Bad Neighbors as an uproarious adventure game that introduces a fresh twist to the vulnerable Paramount Studios film franchise, spoofing modern crime dramas and popular video game culture. The Naked Gun, ICUP, features classic 2D adventure game style, updating its modern audience. Gameplay features include finger-numbing mini-games, collectible objects, upgradable environments, completely arbitrary unlockable outfits. I love this, so they're completely arbitrary. And surprise cameos by some of the gaming world's most notoriously obnoxious characters. Bob Locash, the original film series writer-producer who penned the game's all-new storyline, stated, "Bringing this new chapter to life with the amazing and talented crew at DNA, I was held hostage for 3 days with a sack over my head until I agreed to the preceding statement. Was a total pleasure. This game is...
Sack over his head.
This game is something special.
Right.
A funny and engaging piece of entertainment that will hopefully win the hearts of Naked Gun fans, gaming fans, and comedy fans alike. If not, there's always dinner theater." Channeling the hard-nosed but dumb-witted character brought to life by Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun, ICUP tasked mobile gamers to follow mobile gamers to follow his equally along with his brand-new crime-fighting team to dispense justice on evildoers, which, let's face it, should be easier than finding morbidly obese people at a Renaissance fair.
Ooh. That's a low blow.
I did not say it. That's what they sent me. ICUP is available for about $4.99 or for the same price as a gallon of milk for your needy family from the App Store for the iPad and iPhone.
A gallon of milk for your needy family. Oh, holy crap, you guys are just taking a swipe at everybody. Wow, I like you.
I'm kind of starting to like them. DNA, of course, it was established in 2010. Some of the games that they've put out up to date are Quest of Legends, Jigsawium, Legacy, Mystery Mansion, Chess Crusade, and Sudokium. And they've also done, they also have coming out Warheads Medieval Tales, and you can check them out at dna-interactive.com.
Yay!
They're from the UK, by the way. Very cheeky.
Very cheeky. Speaking of the UK, three key EU committees vote against ACTA. At the early votes in the European Parliament related to the related to the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement ACTA are any indication, the controversial treaty will not survive a final vote later this year. Three key European Union committees have voted against ACTA, the Committee on Legal Affairs, Juri, Committee on Civil Liberties, ALIBE, and the Committee on Industry, Research, and Energy, ITRE. All three committees expressed opinions against ACTA, according to the BBC. The votes in these committees will be taken into consideration by the International Trade Committee's INTA as it gets ready to make its formal recommendation to the European Parliament. INTA's appointed rapporteur on ACTA, David Martin, has already strongly condemned the treaty. The only country in Europe that seems to be strongly and publicly supporting ACTA at this point is the United Kingdom. The UK supports the aims of ACTA and continues to support a global coordinated approach to intellectual property enforcement, said the government's Intellectual Property Office in a statement. We are watching the developments at the European Parliament carefully and respect whatever decision they make regarding ACTA. A full vote in the A full vote in the European Parliament is expected later this year. Down with ACTA, just saying.
It was a rather abrupt end to that story.
Down with ACTA. Well, what else am I going to say? Down with ACTA. ACTA sucks. If you're supporting ACTA, I'm going to kick you in the shin. Both shins. Steel-toed boots. Promises.
All right, remember yesterday when we told you about we asked you a question, was Assassin's Creed stolen?
I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, well, today Ubisoft has told Gamma Sutra that it is looking to receive a ruling that states that American author John L. Beiswinger's lawsuit against the company earlier this year was entirely meritless. Beiswinger, I cannot say your name, dude, has previously sued Ubisoft and Game Trailers, alleging that the storyline behind the popular Assassin's Creed franchise features many similarities to one of his novels. While he settled out of court with Game Trailers, he decided to step away from his legal charges against Ubisoft earlier this week. However, Beiswinger dismissed the case without prejudice, meaning that he can refile the claim at any time. Now, Ubisoft has filed a complaint against Beiswinger, as it looks to seek a declaration of rights that Assassin's Creed does not infringe on the author's alleged copyright. The plaintiff in the case alleging copyright infringement by Ubisoft has dropped his claim without settlement. The company said in a statement, Ubisoft believes that this suit was frivolous and without merit in this ruling to prevent further future-related claims. It continued, we are proud of our creative teams and continue to vigorously defend the intellectual property that they developed. In the complaint obtained by Gamma Sutra, Ubisoft alleges that Beiswinger's, however you say your names, infringement claims are based on patently non-copyrightable elements. A declaration is necessary to enable Ubisoft to continue to develop and market creative content under the Assassin's Creed brand free from the cloud that Beiswinger's meritless claims have placed over Ubisoft's right to do so. The complaint further reads, apart from the declaration, Ubisoft is seeking the costs and expenses that it incurred as part of the lawsuit and further relief as the court deems just and proper. Beiswinger told Gamma Sutra that he has yet to see the complaint. The author has previously stated on Gamma Sutra that he filed the complaint and motion for preliminary injunction in federal court because, he says, I believe authors should vigorously defend their rights in their creative works. Otherwise, laws protect those rights simply have no purpose. Regrettably, the sources required to defend those rights are unavailable to many individual creators, so rampant infringement appears to occur with impunity.
Out.
My question would be, I don't know if his book is published or not. I know there was a whole bunch of that going around with The Matrix. A woman said that she originally wrote it, and I did read her screenplay, and it was nothing like The Matrix. So,
Corey would know, so, yeah.
I didn't see any similarities at all. She kept talking about something. Her name of her play was The Third Eye. You can find it on the internet. If you read it and you notice some similarities between it and The Matrix, please point them out to me because I read at least like 100 pages in and I was like, where? although, if you look at the last two Matrixes, it makes sense that someone else may have written them because the last two are horrible.
I know. That last one, the very ending of it, I was like, really? Is this the end?
They continued it in the game, but they should have let people know that if you want to continue the story.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, he made it. I can't even think of the chick's name. She died.
Yeah, Trinity.
Trinity died, and he's up on land, what's left of land, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's kind of like, well, what now? And then nothing. I was like, ugh.
He, according to the game, he stayed in the Matrix, and because he was so heartbroken, blah blah blah. Morpheus gets killed, and yeah.
No, not Morpheus. He's too hot to die.
Morpheus be dead.
No.
I tried to save him. It was a whole exploding factory thing. But anyway,
see, it's all Corey's fault. She didn't save him.
I wasn't even online when he died. I saw it in the newspaper when I came online. Okay.
No. All right, so it is my go again. More lawsuits. No doubt lawsuit against Activision will get jury trial. A Superior Court judge ruled that No Doubt's lawsuit against Activision and its game Band Hero can move forward. Activision lawyers had asked the court to dismiss the case, but Superior Court Judge Ramona C. denied the motion. No Doubt appeared in the game Band Hero as playable characters, but the group sued Activision in November 2009 because they claimed that they only gave permission for their likenesses to be used when playing their own songs.
Really?
Yeah. Activision countersued, claiming the band failed to do its due diligence, fully understanding all of the obligations involved in the deal, was in breach of its contract, and was simply attempting to unjustly enrich themselves. While the judge rejected a request to dismiss several No Doubt claims, fraud, violation of violation of publicity rights, and breach of contract, he also denied No Doubt's motion for an injunction against Activision to stop the use of the band's likeness in Band Hero. One would assume that the waning popularity of the title had a lot to do with the judge's decision. C said that the dispute should go before a jury. Activision claims that it has a video recording of the band members being told exactly what their part in the game would entail, including how the unlockable content would be used in-game. A date for a jury trial has not yet been set. You know what, No Doubt? Y'all are rich, y'all are famous, y'all are making God knows how much off of royalties. You signed up for a game. Have you ever played a game? Don't you understand how this works?
I don't think they do understand how it works. That's what happened. That's been happening to a lot of people. They get into games. Same with Beyonce. They think it's just as easy to make a game as it is for them to go in the studio and sing, and it's not. You know, once they ask you questions, if you're not sure what's going on, you need to ask.
Yeah.
You need to ask them something. You need to be involved in the process, not just hear and then later on, oh, that's not what I thought you were going to do. It's not about what you thought. They told you. It's on paper.
Exactly, exactly. Or, you know what, if you're not very good at this, there are people who specialize in gaming law and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Go hire one of them. Hire a gamer. Something, come on.
Because in the next 10 to 15 years, all this, you know, the gamers are losing out when we go to court is not going to happen as we get more people who are gamers into positions of power. And it's going to happen.
I cannot wait till we get a president who plays, like, Call of Duty, Black Ops, or something like that.
Oh, man. How do we know Obama doesn't? You know, he does.
You know what? We should email and find out.
I think we should, but I'm scared.
I think I'm going to email after this.
Yeah, you let them call you in 30 seconds and start telling
I'm
you where you
scared.
Live.
I'm working on something. If it goes through, I'll let you know. I've got something else kind of going to be with that. Yeah.
Will we get to see Obama?
No, but I can talk about it on here.
Will we get to see it sit on his lap? Just tell me that much.
Probably not, no.
I don't want to do it then. No, I'm kidding. All right, we got just a few short minutes. I do want to get this one in. Japanese police have made their first arrest under their new anti-piracy legislation. A 39-year-old man has been arrested in Saitama in Japan's IT prefecture for the alleged sale of devices intended to circumvent anti-piracy measures. He is the first person to be charged for the violation of a law which was introduced several years ago, but was only reinforced by the addition of criminal penalties for the act of providing devices to circumvent technological restriction measures in December 2010. This is from a report from Wired's Game Life. While selling devices has been against the law for some time, I am getting the hiccups. I'm trying to hold them back. For some time, the practice carried no real penalty, meaning the devices could be confiscated, but nobody charged. As a result, the sale of these devices remained commonplace. The arrest was made public by Nintendo, which suffered greatly at the hands of the R4 card and its variants, which allowed piracy to become rife on the DS family of handhelds. The company is hoping that public knowledge of the penalties now attached to the practice will deter any further sales. They told the press that we hope that these devices will disappear from the marketplace in light of this recent action. Nope, Nintendo, you just sent them further underground, and they will still sell them.
Yes, they will. I don't want to read this one, but we got a little bit left.
We got 7 minutes. Do it.
I flippin' hate RuneScape. All right. Queen bestows royal opening on the world's largest street party. Her Majesty permanently immortalized for Diamond Jubilee celebration in online world. Hundreds of millions of people around the globe are invited to the world's biggest virtual Jubilee party in RuneScape.com. The brainchild of official online game company JGeeks to celebrate HM the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. Really, people? All right, so coinciding with these celebrations around the world this weekend, people will enjoy a feast of British classics such as cream teas, fish and chips, steak and kidney pies, and the breakfast of champions, the full English breakfast, no matter where they are, via the virtual world of RuneScape.com, the Guinness World Record holder for the world's largest free-to-play massively multiplayer online game that I cannot believe still exists. All right, so people can also freely collect a plethora of cherished Jubilee content, such as the Queen's favorite, Corgis, unique treasures, royal souvenirs, and staple crowd pleaser, the Union Jack. The Queen will grace people in truly spectacular style in a custom-built Jubilee golden carriage drawn by four of the finest unicorns in the realm. In April 2011, RuneScape developer and publisher Jagex was honored by the Queen at Buckingham Palace with the Queen's Award for Innovation in Enterprise, the only games developer to be presented with this accolade. It won the award for the continuous development, innovation, and success of RuneScape, as well as the proprietary online technology that powers RuneScape.com. The Jagex team and I were incredibly honored last year when we were recognized for our continued success over the past decade by receiving the Queen's Award for Excellence, commented Mark Gerhard, Jagex CEO. We thought it was only appropriate to return our appreciation and admiration by immortalizing the Queen's monumental 60-year achievement by providing an online platform for hundreds of millions of people around the world to come. To come together. Friends and family will share in the fun and fun and celebrations of this very special day, celebrating her Diamond Jubilee, hosting what may be the first, but certainly will be the world's largest virtual street party. Everyone is invited, especially Her Majesty. All right, he goes on to continue. RuneScape is quintessentially a British medieval adventure, and we're proud of our British roots as a continuing source of inspiration. All right, so this virtual street party will be taking place on June 2nd in RuneScape.com at the Royal City of Varrock. So if you play this, head over and check it out. Send me some pictures. I want to see this unicorn, or unicorns. But seriously, RuneScape 2D game, really, in this day of age? Day and age? Yeah, here we go.
Well, I guess we will see.
Yeah.
There's some other things we'll probably talk about later tonight, including how Warner Brothers is trying to breathe new life into the Lord of the Rings because they have that new Hobbit movie coming out.
Really? Are you going to go see that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I see the others and they were good, but I think it's time to put that away.
I just have a experience with that Hobbit person that I told you about.
You do.
Yeah, that's not altogether pleasant. It has nothing to do with him. It was the people around. Anyway, y'all have heard that story a million times. I'm just like, I'm done with him. You also have.
What was he doing there? Was it for the game?
Oh, it was for GDC. His brother is a game developer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he was there supporting his brother. He's a nice guy. It's just
that's
you
cool.
Crazy people around just live. Stop it. I kept having to tell people he's not really a hobbit. Anyway. We'll be back. No, he's not.
Are you sure? He kind of looks like one.
He is rather short, but he's very handsome.
But
I don't think he likes girls. I just get that thing about
him. I have gotten that same thought a couple of times looking at him. It's something to do with the eyes.
I don't know, but he's very nice looking, very well dressed. He drinks, you know, he's got good taste. He drinks very expensive beer. I noticed, you know, I was checking him out, but I noticed he wasn't looking at the ladies as they passed by. And you cannot sit next to the Gaminatrix and not be checking her out. I'm sorry, but not. So power of the booty did not work on him. So I'm thinking he doesn't like. He's not into the lady types, which is nothing wrong with that, but, you know.
No,
he doesn't have to say. Anyway, we got to go, people. You all are getting some stuff that we don't normally share on the air.
Exactly.
We'll be back 9 p.m. Central Standard Time tonight live. There will be a chat room open. You can sit in or even call in and share your opinion or harass us, as some people like to do for no apparent reason during the show, causing my computer to crash. You know who you are.
It's all your fault.
Yes, it's your fault. Oh, I lost my song. Okay, so we are out here. We'll see you guys a little bit later. you know, if I could get it to play. Man, we talk about technical failure. Epic fail today.
Ginger. All right, boys and girls, we shall see you later.